from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
We really like the group of players we see ourselves potentially targeting at 14. We pick up an extra asset, which is good value, at pick 42, and then that's certainly something that we'll talk about. We're actively, you know, shopping around to look and see if there's a deal to make to help our roster better. So this just gives us a little bit more ammunition.
Happy draft day.
Draft day, yeah.
Draft day. Lots to get to today.
Love a good draft day.
Jeremy and Joe, good morning.
Well, a little chilly out there today.
Yeah? I'm in shorts and t-shirt. Hold on.
It's in the low 50s.
Shorts report. Shorts report. Shorts. Shorts.
Not only am I wearing shorts, I would say I'm wearing the closer to short shorts.
Whoa, even. Easy.
Like
easy. I know it's
seven,
Friday.
Is it the 7 inches, I think? Or 5.5? I don't even know. Yep.
Short shorts.
Yeah.
You ready to play?
Shortish. I mean, they're not like, I'm not Kareem Abdul-Jabbar out there.
You stole it. I was just going to say, Joe's ready to jump on the basketball court in 1982 right now.
Right, no.
Here he goes. Some short shorts.
It's definitely not that. It's definitely not that. But, you know, there's an inch less than most shorts, I think.
While we're on fashion, quick fashion question for you. I have seen 5 times in the last month.
Uh-huh.
Men wearing shirts and shorts that match, that are the same pattern.
The same pattern?
The same pattern.
Yeah, that's...
It's a thing happening, isn't it?
A little bit more than yeah, it's happening.
Like, it's
happening. You know, it's like one of those that's like... It's like a trickle-down, right? For, like, there's only some that are brave enough at the start to try something, and then a few more people do it, and then it works its way down to, like, me... Eventually, and
where you're
going to
rock
everybody.
A shirt that has pineapples and the shorts have the same pineapples on. Like, it's the exact same fabric.
Yeah. So it almost kind of looks like you're wearing a onesie.
Like a romper.
A romper.
Little bit. It's like it's like a romper to some degree.
Yes. Yes. You're seeing more of that now than ever, I think. It's definitely under the umbrella of trendy.
Okay.
So they're not just the same color.
It's the same thing. Like, see this pattern on my shirt?
Yeah.
On shorts. Mm. One, two pieces, they match completely.
Yep.
I don't know about that. Like, that's just a lot.
How'd you feel about a golfer doing that?
I mean, I feel like it's happening.
Jason Day could pull it off.
On the golf course, it's happening? I know it's definitely happening, like, just in general. But I haven't seen, like, it extend to the golf world.
I don't have a problem.
Someone could be first.
I don't have any problem with it. I mean, you know, people can do what they want with fashion. I've just noticed it and thought,
you only have a problem if they match it with an upside-down hat.
I don't even have a problem with that.
You just think it's dumb.
Well, the upside-down hat, your reasoning for wearing a hat with an upside-down logo, I mean, sure, go for it. I don't have a problem with it. I probably just wouldn't do it myself. So anyway,
all
right.
It's all fashion is. You see someone you like doing something, Post Malone wears an upside-down hat, and suddenly I want an upside-down hat.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, well, it's draft day. NHL draft coverage from Vegas today. Paul Hamilton's going to join us at 8. I texted Paul, and I said, hey, I know you're a couple hours behind us. What time are you willing to get up? Right?
Uh-huh.
3 hours behind us. So he's going to get up at 5 a.m. Vegas time and join us at 8.
Wow. Look at that. I mean, in Vegas, you might want to get up early because it's the only time when it's not 115 degrees
also.
That might
be right.
So mornings might be fine over there.
Paul joining us from Vegas at 8 o'clock this morning. We've got draft coverage tonight. So if you're listening this evening, our draft coverage, here's the lineup. From 7 to 11, it's going to be anchored by Brayton Wilson and Brian Koziel. We'll talk to Brayton a little bit later today. Paul Hamilton in Vegas. Josh, you're going to be here running the draft tonight. TJ Luckman as well. Over the weekend, Derek Kramer, Joe Calley on for rounds 2 through 7. Paul again on from Vegas. And Evan DePasquale producing. So we've got you covered through the weekend. The NHL draft lineup. How we're going to be doing things this weekend following the draft. So, all right. Should we start there? I mean, I'm ready to tee off on a million topics. There's a lot of good.
I feel like you're fired up today.
There's meat on this bone today.
Yeah.
It is June 28th, and there's meat on the bone today. LeBron James and Bronny James. Can't wait to sink my teeth into that one.
Yes, they're going to play together.
U.S. soccer.
Ugh,
I mean,
Timothy
right there.
Weah.
Right there, ready for. Lots going on. But let's start with the Sabres because it is draft day. So the Sabres, they got to be out there partying in Vegas tonight. Must have had an all-nighter. Sabres management, the whole team, they must have gone to the wall celebrating another acquisition of an asset. Oh, second round pick.
Uh-huh.
Party time. Drinks, keep them coming. Get the bottles over here. Bottle service to the table. We've added a second round pick. We did it again, folks. It's fine. Listen, it's fine. They added the 42nd overall pick. The point on the Sabres and on Kevin Adams and how they're running the show right now has been the same for years. It is not time to sell. It is time to buy.
Uh-huh.
So if they added a second round pick because they're going to buy something with it, great.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not the NFL draft where sliding from 11 to 14 and adding a second round pick is a coup. Oh, what a great deal. This is not that. Do you know what second round picks are being thrown around for at this draft? It feels like the entire NHL has realized that second round picks are the highest thing you can get, the lowest thing you can give that still has value.
Uh-huh.
Third rounders have nothing, and second rounders are borderline. Earlier this week, the Red Wings traded a second rounder to the Sharks with a player for free.
Right. Well, it was to take a bad contract.
Not even that bad of a contract.
But it was, yeah. But that was the goal.
And the guy plays.
Yeah.
Bad contract is Chris Pronger's retiring here. Take him, Arizona. This is a defenseman who played for $3.4 million in Detroit, gave up a second round pick to take that guy.
Uh-huh.
Second round picks, are they useless? No. But the odds that this player ever shows up for the Buffalo Sabres are not very high.
No, they're low. They're definitely low.
So they did what the Bills did, except the Bills will add a player that will be on the roster this year when they add picks. And the Sabres, in their draft history, getting a second-round pick, okay, fine. I'll give you the last 10 years of second-round picks. You let me know how good I should feel about any of it. Paterka is the best example of one second-round pick that actually might make a difference, and Samuelson as well.
Yeah.
So, but Samuelson is like the first pick of the second round, and so is Paterka. They're both very high picks.
Yep.
Beyond that, anyway, getting to the second round pick.
Yeah.
The main point is, Joe, I don't really want to hear anybody celebrating the Sabres adding an asset because they have an unbelievable amount of them. They need better pieces on the ice. We all know that. I'm sure they know that. So celebrating a trade from 11 to 14 is not something I'm prepared to do, and I don't think anybody should do.
I am not wanting to celebrate it. I'm curious what their plan would be for it, or their plan would be for picks in general, because I don't really feel like they are any less likely to move their first round pick in some big trade, right? Like 11 to 14 to me doesn't change any of that at all. Like if you want to trade your first round pick, like were you talking to teams this week, which Adams, by the way, made a comment about how he had been talking to teams and the trades had fell apart, which I don't really think gives him the credit he might think it would. You don't get bonus points for trying to make these trades. Like it's about pulling the trigger, it's about closing the deal. But what are they going to just make all these picks, or do they plan on trading things? Because if the idea is, well, we'll use this pick in some sort of trade at some point, like I can get down with that. The list of players, I went back 2 years to find the list of players that were traded for second round picks, and we're talking mostly like middle six, but maybe bottom six, but NHL players. Since Greenway, Marc-Andre Fleury, Connor Brown, Nito Niederreiter, Lars Eller, Sean Durzi, who's a 23-minute-a-night defenseman, Ross Colton, Anthony Mantha, Alex Wenberg, Andrew Mangiapane. Those are all second-round picks that all play on their teams. And maybe some of those are because the contract's bad that they didn't go for first, but I feel like the league hasn't figured out how second-round picks are not that valuable. Like I don't think the second-round pick is valuable in that. Look at the percentage chance the guy that you pick is going to make the NHL.
It's like, what, 5%, 10%?
Maybe it's like 10% that they're like a great player, but it's, I think, maybe a little higher for just to make the league.
I remember it was to make the league and be a contributor in the third round, it's like 7%.
Okay.
Because when the Sabres traded for Jimmy Vesey's rights, that's what Tim Murray said.
Okay, so maybe a second round 7% pick is just a little higher.
Yeah, I think it's like 10% to actually be a player.
So I feel like the pick actually isn't that valuable. But NHL GMs haven't figured that out yet. I could still trade that for guy that will play on my team and maybe contribute a little bit. I mean, certainly not someone that I would ever expect is going to be like, oh, your big acquisition of the offseason, right? I would definitely snicker at that. But if they want to flip that pick around, I would expect them to get like a real NHL player.
And they might have already tried. Adam said he was closing in on some trades and they fell apart. Why'd they fall apart? Is it because the player was contacted and said, I won't go there?
Right.
Is Andrew Mangiapane the name there? Would have made sense for the Sabres. He got traded to Washington for a second-round pick?
For a second-round pick.
Next year. For next year's second-round pick.
Yep.
And maybe he was contacted and said, no thanks. Teams have limited no-trade lists, or their players do, or full no-trade clauses, whatever. The Sabres are, this is part of the reality, that they're probably not working with a full player pool. And that's the tough part. They've, of course, created this situation, and Adams is not guilty of creating the situation entirely himself, but you might have a perfect deal done where you're happy, the other team is happy, and the player just says, nope.
And that's what I'm truly scared of the most.
Well, it's very likely.
GM finally wants to go all in with a trade like that, and he looks around and realizes it's just not really that possible because nobody wants to play here. Nobody wants to play in a team that they've never lived to see a playoff game. A lot of these young players, like how old's Andrew Mangiapane? He's 20, just turned 28. Okay, so he would have been 15 the last time they were in the playoffs, and he would have been, what? He would have been 9-8 the last time they would have won a round. Like, these guys in the league don't remember them being good. If they don't have any connection here, and a lot of players obviously don't, just how can you expect them to want to come here? If they've got no trade list, if they've got even a five-team no trade list, you've got to assume they're on it. And I don't know how you overcome that. Are you able to overcome that without just winning? Or is that all it will be? You just simply will not get a trade like that done unless you find a special case of somebody until you are a playoff team.
Well, look at the players they've traded for. In the case of Alex Tuch, he dreamed of playing for this team. And other guys they trade for are either one of two things, very young or very old.
Right. Like Byram wasn't on his second contract yet, so he wasn't on his big extension yet, so he had no protection.
Right.
So, and he knew Dylan Cousins and Peyton Krebs on the team.
Which helps. But maybe given the choice, he still would not have said, yes, I'll go there. Who knows? Then it's the free agents that don't have other options, like Eric Johnson. Oh, he chose to come to Buffalo. Okay, I'm sure his choices were limited. And again, is it a reflection of the city? In the case of some players, it might be. But the thing it is more of a reflection of is, of course, the franchise.
What's their reputation?
Right. Is any football player saying, I won't go to Buffalo right now? There might be some, but it's not exactly like top eight won't go there. No thanks. That's a wasteland.
Mm-hmm.
So it is part of the challenge to Kevin Adams. It's almost like there's a slider on a video game that's been like, hey, congratulations, you are the GM, but you can't trade for 300 players. We've taken them off the list. You're ineligible to trade for 300 players because of no trade lists. So we'll see. He did admit that trades were close but fell apart.
Yep. So I like that they've added this second, but right, the bigger I care more about that comment yesterday that they had trades that were close and fell apart than I do about them picking up the extra second round pick.
Wouldn't you love to know what made them fall apart? I mean, there's a rumored trade years ago that Ristolainen and Nikolai Ehlers were going to swap teams, and it got hung up on a fourth round draft pick. Imagine that. Imagine it fell apart because of the inclusion of a fourth round draft pick.
Right.
I don't think that's probably what happened.
I don't know what to make of Adams on this front. Like, should I think he is? I mean, wasn't Darcy Regier someone who just always fell in love with his players and overvalued them, and that's a big reason why trades never happened?
Could be.
Or very rarely happened when he was a GM.
Could be. Wasn't that also a time where people maybe didn't want to come to play in Buffalo?
I'm sure. A little bit.
The Sabres for most of Darcy's time here were not. That's pre-salary cap. Most of it, right?
And yeah, at least half of it.
Where are you going to get more money? More money is going to be elsewhere. The Sabres were not exactly the cap shows up in 05-06.
Right.
And Darcy's here for a good half of that. The falling in love with his player stuff, that was always the umbrella term used for Darcy. And I'm not sure I really believed that, because most GMs, like a lot of their players, what I guess you would say by that is he was defined by inaction. And was Darcy defined by inaction?
I mean, do something Darcy is a social media trend that you see every year. Right.
That's right.
When everyone wants Adams to make a trade and he's not making a trade, the tweet that comes out from everybody is do something Darcy.
Right, but isn't that a little tongue-in-cheek? I mean, is Darcy Regier really known to be not active? Because if we want to do the numbers on it, should we come up with some sort of scale to find out that Kevin Adams has actually been less aggressive than Darcy Regier? I mean, yeah. Adams has just flat out not acquired players. I went through the list yesterday. Their biggest move in acquiring a player, I went to look for all the trades they've made where multiple pieces go out and the best piece comes back. That's trades. I'm going to go get something. I'm going to trade three pieces out and bring something back. Right now, the best I'm on is Greenway, who they traded two picks for. And after that, I'm still scrolling, Joe.
Yeah.
What's the other trade where they say it's time to buy something? You can't really put Byram here. That's a one for one. That's a hockey trade, as they say. That's a swap. Where is the buyer's trade? Where is the time that the Sabres spent multiple assets to go get someone? It has been forever. That's why when you tell me, hey, they slid from 11 to 14 and added 42, I hit snooze on my alarm. Congratulations. How does that deal come about? Don't the Sharks call you?
I'm assuming the Sharks called them. Yeah.
Well, maybe not. Maybe not.
I would guess they would. Maybe I shouldn't assume.
That would be my guess.
Yeah, my guess would be they called.
And it's a little bit, there's a little bit of a crossover here like the Bills. The Bills trading down from, where were they, 25? 28. From 28 to 33.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we still like everybody there. Okay. Great. Congratulations. You still like everybody there. Mm-hmm. They got things for it in that deal, moved up in other rounds. For the Sabres, they like all the same players. It is an odd trade for the Sharks.
It's weird that it happened the day before.
How do you know they like the best 12 players? That really must be it.
It must be, but you don't think... What would you think... I'm also very much wondering if Mike Greer is good at this, because he's had a lot of head-scratching moves already as Sharks GM.
Right, picking up the Rangers player and all that salary when he didn't have to.
Like, play that out. Your scouting staff and your board ends up where, ooh, big tier break after the 12th player. Wouldn't you think the odds are pretty decent that when you're at pick 14 that you're going to get one of your 12 players? Like, what are the odds that your top 12 are all gone by 14? Because not everybody else has the same board as you do.
Right, right.
Like, and you would do that the day before? It's very strange. Very strange, I think, that they would make that move. Unless they have their sights set higher even. Like, is this a, we'll move to 11 because we're really trying to get to 6. but we can't get to 6 without having 11. Like, I just, it's very, very weird, weird trade. And again, Greer's made some strange moves as GM of the Sharks, so maybe it's not the most surprising to happen, but it is, by the way, on Darcy for this. Yeah, like, how is there a scale from Darcy is the most conservative to Murray is the most aggressive, and then Adams falls somewhere in between those two, or is he behind Darcy? Darcy was here for 16 years and traded his first round pick for a player one time. One time.
In 16 years.
Zubris. It's the only time in 16 years he traded a first round pick for a player. So, didn't happen all that often. At least the big swing like that. They made some other trades for players. You know, I'm looking at a Leopold trade right now. So, like, they made trades throughout the years. But I don't know where to put Adams on that because I just don't know. Like, I almost wish they would tell us this. Like, what would be the downside of that? The downside would be you might alienate your other GMs or players, right? Because it's not. I don't think it would harm you, your reputation as a GM, if people thought, okay, you know, like, what are you supposed to do, right? Like, we kind of assume that he runs into problems like this where players are telling them no, and that's why trades aren't getting done. And it's not, oh, I'm not willing to pull the trigger. I'm not willing to spend this asset. I'm not willing to overpay a little bit. I'm too passive. I fall in love with my players too much. Like, I don't know if I want to put any of that on him because I don't know if it's that or if it's just he tries to make trades and then players tell him no. I hope that's not the case.
It's probably the case. It's probably been the case multiple times. It happened with Matt Murray.
Yeah, we know for a fact it happened there.
Yeah, it probably happened last deadline.
It sounded like it happened last deadline.
And might have happened again. Looking for trades where the Sabres sent more pieces out to get something in, Here's where I'm at. Greenway, 2 picks.
Okay.
The selection of J.J. Paterka, 2 picks. Dominic Cahoon.
We're already going back quickly,
Erod and Connor Sherry. Colin Miller, 2 picks.
Okay.
Montour, Gouley in a first.
Yeah.
I stopped.
That's like their last semi-big trade they've made.
Montour.
You traded a first-round pick for another team's top four defenseman.
Mm-hmm. And then you traded him away for a third.
Yeah. After the coach put him at forward. Okay, for like a month.
We got to lift our spirits here. All right. Let's hit a
right. It's draft day, right? Like,
that's right.
You think they want to make trades?
Yeah. Let's hit a reset button. All right.
And they added a free pick yesterday.
That's
not
right.
Free,
and more ammo.
Like free.
Scott in Williamsville. Hey, Scott. Good morning.
Good morning, boys. How are we?
Good. It's good. Friday. It's sunny. You know, draft day.
I like it. I have a question about. I'm going to pivot slightly from what the screener had asked me. It is about the no trade clause, and I was curious as to what percentage of the NHL actually is under that umbrella of no trade clause. But I'm getting the impression, I'm just trusting you guys because I don't know better, I'm getting the impression that a larger percentage of the NHL versus the other professional leagues are no trade clause. And if assuming that's the case, I never understood why a league wouldn't implement a system that a team would get a higher amount of cap total proportionate to the amount of no-trade lists their team is on within the NHL. It would give them a better chance to attract free agents and level the field a little.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Should that system exist? I guess the question is, why would the league want to do that? I guess in the case of Winnipeg's, Buffalo's, let's be real, Edmonton before McDavid, Calgary, isn't it north in Canada, a lot of it? Maybe it's Columbus, yeah. It's Dallas. The question is, why should the league be motivated to help a team that has created its own problem? In a lot of cases, that's what it is. The team is bad.
I got an answer. I think I have an answer. The best answer I can come up with is if the league still allows revenue sharing, then they should allow this. If they're going to give some teams who are smaller market or for whatever reason, they've gotten in their own light way, as you said, they're getting a percentage of other bigger market teams' success dollar-wise.
For sure, yeah.
Because the other teams are getting... So if they allow that, then it's counterproductive to not allow my point.
Okay. I guess what I'm getting from you, Scott, two things, because there's actually a different league that has something in place like this that I'll explain in a minute. But in that scenario, though, the Toronto Maple Leafs are paying for other teams to exist and then also paying for those teams to be able to spend their money more than right. They are. And that's putting all the teams that aren't on these lists at a bit of a competitive disadvantage. However, like to kind of get to the general idea of this point, compensatory picks in the NFL. If you lose a big money free agent, you get a pick. So you do get rewarded on some level for having great players. And if you can't keep any of them because they don't like where your coach, you lose too much, you just get studs and everybody bolts. You get a bunch of thirds and fourth and fifth round picks added to your cachet to try and use. So there's a system like that. Of course, there's a case for, you know, the entire NHL not giving out no trade clauses, but those are given out all over the place.
It's definitely more than the other sports. Like, the NBA has them, and they're pretty rare. Like, LeBron doesn't have one. If the Lakers wanted to trade him to the Warriors this past deadline, I think they did ask him, so it, you know. That happens too, by the way. Like, it sometimes will not even matter, I guess, if they have a no trade clause. If the GM respects a player enough to ask where they want to go. The Sabres did this with Okposo, right? They've talked about this, that Okposo really only wanted to go to Florida. And that's a much lower scale of this, but I don't know if there was another team that wanted Okposo. And I don't think Okposo have a no trade clause on that 1 year contract? Or did he just have an understanding with the GM and the respect of the GM that, oh, you want to go to Florida? We'll send you to Florida. If the player says, I don't want to go there, then you could just do it anyway if the guy doesn't have a no-trade clause. Like, Byram. What do you do if a guy like Bo Byram, you make a trade for him, he doesn't have protection, but then his agent tells you, you shouldn't do this because he doesn't want to be there. Like, you might run into that.
Sure.
And you have to make a decision that is beyond the no-trade clause of, okay, what do we do? He doesn't want to be here, but we want the player. Do we just do it and see if it works?
And if you start to play hardball like that, fewer players probably want to join. You know, players chat. All this stuff about these players that have left, that have won the cup. I mean, what do you think they tell their teammates about? The Sabres have a heavy lift. It's a very heavy lift to turn things around. Today's a good day to do that. You know, today and tomorrow and this weekend in free agency. They're not at rock bottom. It's just the job is still as tough as it was probably at rock bottom. I guess that's the part. Right. So I'm torn between giving Kevin Adams a little bit of grace and also thinking it's time to act. You got to do something. You might have to spend more. You might have your value chart, but you have to crank up the little dial that says, yes, but you're the Sabres. Everything's going to cost you more. If you are bidding on a player like that's got a no movement clause and they won't leave, then you got to get out of the bidding. And if there's a player that does have a no movement clause, there's a player that does not have one, right? Say, Joe, you're the Sabres. I've got a player. He's young. It's like a Bo Byram. You call me. You want him?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, your price is high because I know your pool is limited. Mm-hmm. I'm charging you more. Anybody can have this player, but you can't have any player. You need this guy because he doesn't have protection.
Mm-hmm.
So your price just went up an extra third round pick, fourth round pick, second round pick. Isn't that reasonable to believe that your prices are higher?
Yeah. It's a good thing they have an extra second round pick now.
That's right. Good to have that extra second round pick. All right. Hey, good morning. Jeremy and Joe. Draft day. Paul from Vegas at 8 o'clock. I can't wait to talk about the Bronny James thing. Team USA suffers a horrific collapse loss. Just an absolute choke job for Team USA under Greg Berhalter again. That's how it goes.
Rudderless ship.
Absolutely. Jeremy and Joe, happy Friday. We'll have fun today. We won't just complain about no movement clauses and stuff like that. Scott, thanks for the phone call and the idea there. It is NHL Draft Day on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Farina to play that ball. Comes forward for Balogun. Balogun shot is in! Down to 10, but forward Balogun doesn't care. A screamer of a goal to give the United States a 1-0 lead.
U.S. took a 1-0 lead, down a man with a heck of a shot by Balogun, and then lost 2-1 to Panama. How's it work on tiebreakers? So, the U.S. needs to beat Uruguay, probably.
Probably, unless they get lucky and Bolivia is able to tie Panama, which I guess could happen.
But if Panama wins and beats Bolivia, who's the worst team in the group?
Then it comes down to goal differential.
Okay.
And at the moment, what is that? The U.S. is plus one. I don't have it in front of me. U.S. is plus one and Panama's minus one. So if they both drew, then I think the U.S. would be through.
All right.
But Panama's...
I'm playing the worst team.
They're playing the worst team.
Probably gonna.
Yeah. Hey, what if I told you what would be the biggest betrayal of a Bills player right now?
I just saw this story, and I was unsure how I was going to tease it.
All right.
I don't think it's a betrayal on any level.
So a Bills wide receiver worked out with Aaron Rodgers this week.
Yeah. MVS. Worked out with Rodgers.
Yeah. I mean, Josh's jaw hit the floor the moment I said Bills wide receiver worked out with Aaron Rodgers. I feel like this MVS doesn't hit as hard, though.
Well, I mean, they're friends.
Right, they're friends. They've played together before. And it makes sense why, you know, they would do that. They played together in Green Bay for, what, 4 years?
Yeah.
3 years together?
He's been a Bills wide receiver for, what, like a month and a half?
He's also right. He's not Diggs, or Diggs isn't on the Bills.
Shakir. It's not like...
Does Aaron Rodgers want out?
Does Aaron Rodgers want to go to the Bills?
He's working with another team's receiver.
Yes. Right. Yeah, just ran some routes together. But yeah, MVS was working out with Aaron Rodgers. Do you do that with a guy in the division? No matter what, doesn't matter?
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter?
Doesn't
matter. Gabe Davis used to work out with Dak Prescott all the time.
Yeah.
So guys do that all the time. No doubt. All right, not a big deal.
I did see that, though. MVS, though. All right, he's working out with... Rodgers. Rodgers missed mandatory minicamp, and here he is.
And when he was at OTAs, there were several videos of him like limping around, sitting down, looking at his ankle. Didn't look healthy. Didn't look healthy. And then he skipped mandatory minicamp to go do drugs.
Yeah. There are two stories at Pro Football Talk about the Bills. One is MVS working out with Aaron Rodgers. The other is about Von Miller, who spoke with Sports Illustrated.
Yep. He did an interview with Sports Illustrated, and he got asked about just in general, like because they were doing like sneaker talk and, you know, fashion stuff. And kind of at the end, hey, so what about this year? Expectations? Like, what do you think of this year? And Von made a comment about how he got criticized so much last year when he should have never been out there. Like, Von said he shouldn't have played last season. But he did for his teammates, and he didn't want to leave those guys out to dry, so he came back. But Von made the comment that he should not have been on the field last year.
Or should have never came back. I saw a video yesterday. Forgive me for forgetting which social media platform it was on. Instagram, somewhere on Facebook, Twitter. It's one of those three. That's pretty much all that I have. But it was Von doing pass rush drills and looking like the fastest human alive.
Yeah?
Yeah. Looked really...
What this video is made to make them look a lot faster, though.
Sure, probably. Yeah. I mean, it is...
Mike Tyson did workout videos a couple weeks ago, and he looked like the fastest human being alive.
It is off-season mode. It's PR mode. Players are in the best shape of their lives. But it was Von doing work, and here he is saying he shouldn't have played last year, or judging him on last year is tough. You know, in terms of what does he really mean by that? Was he pressured to play and felt like he shouldn't? My guess is that's not the case. However, he went in game five.
Yeah, game five.
It was London. I remember they activated him and they sent him to London. Leading into that week, I thought, well, he's okay. He's been activated, but they can still use some time to bring him back. And he went right into the lineup.
Yeah. Here's the quote, the exact quote from Von that he gave Sports Illustrated. It's crazy how you get injured and you come back and you really shouldn't have been playing and people judge you by a product on the field. Really? It's crazy that people judge you by the product on the field? Okay. he said, I could have easily sat out all of last season, but I couldn't do that to my teammates. Felt like being later in my career. Didn't want to sacrifice any of my years. But at the same time, I shouldn't have been out there. He looked like he shouldn't have been out there.
Yeah, he made no impact.
He was scratched later in the season, too. So eventually the Bills agreed with him, too. Like, hey, which was the Philly game? One of those games late in the year, he rested. Maybe it was the Charger game. So he kind of went off on people judging him on his year last year. But, dude, that's the business. Like, that part of it, I don't get at all. Like, of course people are going to judge you based on what you do on the field. Of course they are. If you're out there, usually fans are going to assume you're healthy enough to play because you're playing. And he had one tackle and was activated in week five. So I'm hoping he's back to form for sure. And that was, you know, the gist of his thing. Like, my goal is, like, just get back to what I was 2 years ago. And now he's had a full year to recover.
803-0550. He is a big X factor for them. Big one. If he's
huge.
If he's good. Not great. If he's good, if he's their best defensive end, does he have to be great to be their best defensive end?
Does he have to be great for them to have like an elite defense this year?
No, definitely no.
Because they don't really have another edge rusher right now that you would go, oh yeah, that guy's going to ball out this year.
Well, they've had elite defenses without having stud pass rushers before.
Yeah.
McDermott's defenses are built in a way that, you know, they don't always have the stud.
Wouldn't you say, though, maybe not. Maybe you wouldn't. Could you say this is the weakest that group's ever been?
It's a good question. I mean, you have years of Jerry Hughes being their best guy with Trent Murphy
and Mario Addison, right?
They bring in guys and get varying degrees of results. You might have thought that last year, and then Leonard Floyd puts up 10 sacks.
10 sacks, yeah. Right, I would have thought that until maybe they signed him. And they could still do that, by the way.
Yeah. Yannick Ngakoue could be an idea.
But Von is the one, like, if I'm right, like, it might be, you know, too close to have it's not worth it. The Jerry Hughes edge group against this one might be close enough. So you could say this is the worst, but if Von is what he was at the beginning of the 2022 season, then, I mean, then they're right there. They're as good as they ever have been at that position, if he is that form.
803-0550 to join us, 1-888-550-2550. Paul Hamilton joining us from Las Vegas. The draft goes at the Sphere tonight. The Sabres will pick 14th and no longer number 11. They've slid from 11 to 14 and added the 42nd overall pick, a second rounder. That trade going with the Sharks. I wonder if the Sharks are trying to angle to get the Yzerman kid. So, because they're taking Macklin Celebrini.
Yeah.
And he's real tight with that Yzerman kid, who's a great scorer. Maybe they just want to do some work where they move up the draft board and get where they got to get him.
They want to make sure that they're going to get
his... let's get a pair.
They're going to get his buddy.
Think about the Texans drafting second and third, and Brian Burke, way back when, moving all heaven and earth to draft the Sedin twins. Maybe Mike Greer wants to get Celebrini's best bud, or one of his good friends. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550 to join us on WGR. Hello? All right. What happened? Computer took Friday off. Music took Friday off. It's checked out. We're back. Hey, it's Jeremy and Joe.
So, 11-day power play last night.
You guys played last night.
Team WGR against the Western New York Media All-Stars. Thanks everybody for coming out. We had a bunch of people on hand. I had a bunch of family there. And it was a lot of fun. We declared, we talked some, you know what? We declared we were going to win by double digits. Final score, 19-5.
Whoa.
19-5.
Domination for Team WGR.
Our goalie, PJ, I mean...
He made a diving glove save at one point. Like,
it's going to be the
body,
of the 11 days and 11 days, 24 hours a day, so what, like 240 hours of hockey? It'll be the greatest save. It'll absolutely be the greatest save that was made. He was so good that we were... What? I think he played like juniors maybe at some point. We were maybe 30 minutes into the game and the other team hadn't scored yet. And do you ever play like recreational sports where the score is getting like out of hand? You start wondering like, oh, I kind of feel bad. Like I don't want, do you want this to be a shutout? Do you want to go 3 hours and not allow a goal? Because I feel like what's the other team? Like, they have family in the crowd, they're too. Just, they're going to want to see their guys score.
They're just trying to have a good time.
They're just trying to have a good time.
You guys
here
are out there employing a left-wing lock.
We've got Hasek in the back, right, in the back, making every save. Right. But they got
You're dumping pucks deep for the last 2 hours.
Yes, we're diving in front of shots. But it was a lot of fun. We all got in the scoreboard, so...
We were one goal off of the 1,100th goal.
Yes.
We had 1099.
Yeah, our goal of the game was we needed 20 to get to 1,100. Get the 1,100th goal for 11-day power play, and we got to 1099. So that one was tough, but still a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. Jeremy and Joe, it's going to be 81 today. Nice day today. The weekend looks like we're getting a good amount of rain, at least Saturday.
Yep.
So prepare for some rain on Saturday. Today looks pretty good. Tomorrow, rain. And the draft tonight. Brian Koziel, Brayton Wilson have coverage. Paul Hamilton will be in Vegas for the NHL draft. Looking for some more rumors. We've got Kevin Adams saying he was close to closing in on a couple deals where they fell apart. And here we are.
Yeah. Does he say that just to say it, being honest? Or does he say that thinking like that is going to get him credit?
No, I think he's probably being honest.
Okay.
I mean, he was honest enough to say that at the deadline they had something, but the player wouldn't waive the no trade clause, right? He told us that.
Yep. Honestly just got everyone outright just told flat out no, Skinner didn't want to waive his no movement clause.
By the way, the latest on Skinner, when we get back, Elliot Friedman, it might not be a done deal that he's going to be bought out. There could be one team especially that might fit for Skinner.
I didn't see this.
So Elliot Friedman says it's not done yet. Kevin Adams said they have time. So here we go. Tell you what that team is, the connection, and whether or not that could happen next.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste because you know all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hello? All right. What happened? Computer took Friday off? Music took Friday off? Checked out. We're back. Hey, it's Jeremy and Joe.
So, 11-day power play last night.
You guys played last night.
Team WGR against the Western New York Media All-Stars. Thanks everybody for coming out. We had a bunch of people on hand. I had a bunch of family there. And it was a lot of fun. We declared we were going to win by double digits. Final score? 19-5.
Whoa.
19-5.
Domination for Team WGR.
Our goalie, PJ... I mean,
he made a diving glove save at one point. Like,
it's going to be the
body,
the 11 days and 11 days, 24 hours a day, so what, like 240 hours of hockey? It'll be the greatest save. It'll absolutely be the greatest save that was made. He was so good that we were, what? I think he played like juniors maybe at some point. We were maybe 30 minutes into the game and the other team hadn't scored yet. And do you ever play like recreational sports where the score is getting like out of hand? You start wondering like, oh, I kind of feel bad. Like I don't want. Do you want this to be a shutout? Do you want to go 3 hours and not allow a goal? Because I feel like the other. What's the other team? Like they have family in the crowd too. They're gonna want to see their guys score.
They're just trying to have a good time.
They're just trying to have a good time.
You guys
here.
Are out there employing a left wing lock.
We've got Hasek in the back in the back making every save. Right, but they got
You're dumping pucks deep for the last 2 hours.
Yes, we're diving in front of shots. But it was a lot of fun. We all got on the scoreboard. So
We were one goal off of the 1,100th goal.
Yes.
We had 1,099.
Yeah, our goal of the game was to get... We needed 20 to get to 1,100. Get the 1,100th goal for 11-day power play, and we got to 1,099. So that one was tough, but still a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. Jeremy and Joe, it's going to be 81 today. Nice day today. The weekend looks like we're getting a good amount of rain, at least Saturday.
Yep.
So prepare for some rain on Saturday. Today looks pretty good. Tomorrow, rain. And the draft tonight. Brian Koziel, Brayton Wilson have coverage. Paul Hamilton will be in Vegas for the NHL draft. Looking for some more rumors. We've got Kevin Adams saying he was close to closing in on a couple deals where they fell apart. And here we are.
Yeah. Does he say that just to say it, being honest? Or does he say that thinking like that is going to get him credit?
I think he's probably being honest.
Okay.
I mean, he was honest enough to say that at the deadline, they had something, but the player wouldn't waive the no-trade clause, right? He told us that.
Yep.
I think he also honestly just got everyone outright just told flat out no, Skinner didn't want to waive his no movement clause.
By the way, the latest on Skinner, when we get back, Elliot Friedman, it might not be a done deal that he's going to be bought out. There could be one team especially that might fit for Skinner.
I didn't see this.
So Elliot Friedman says it's not done yet. Kevin Adams said they have time. So here we go. Tell you what that team is, the connection, and whether or not that could happen next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.